All right. If you are a Dolphins fan, I mentioned this earlier. If you're on Twitter, social media, you probably are familiar with Big E. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. So Crowder, I don't know if you know, he was named 2020 Miami Dolphins Fan of the Year. Was that the league thing where the league picks a fan of the year for every team, Big E?
Yes, sir. That was the first year that they ever did it. So I was definitely blessed and honored to be part of that.
Well, Big E is a tried and true Miami Dolphins fan, but his life has turned on a dime. I was talking to him this morning about it. And so I wanted to bring him on, see if maybe we can help him out or help someone else out. His name is Ian Berger. Everybody knows him on social media as Big E. He's joining us now. So tell us just to, because I kind of need to bounce around here. I do want to talk Dolphins with you as well. But, and I see you know, he's got the Dolphins hat on and the jersey. He's got everything behind him is Dolphins regalia. How long have you rooted for the Dolphins?
Since 1985. My grandfather took me to my first ever game. And then I took my dad to his first ever game in 1992. And it's just grown ever since. And then when social media came about, it just blew up because you could find news any minute of any day about your sports team.
Big E, tell these suckers how good I was.
I remember, didn't you like pee in the huddle one time or at the like that? That's the one thing I remember about you, Channing.
But interesting. So you don't remember a particular play or anything. Yeah. You remember more of his urine.
That my Biggie. I thought we were allies. I don't know.
Listen, when you had the aqua and orange on, I was rooting for you every play, every game, Channing. But you know, yeah.
And you, brother.
You got it, man. You got it.
Who's your favorite all-time Dolphin?
Zach Thomas. Thomas, he's up there on my wall back here. And I had a chance to, I told my wife, I said, if he ever made it to the Hall of Fame, not if ever, when he made it to the Hall of Fame, I would be there to support him. And sure enough, I was there for his induction, which was just an amazing experience.
And E, I see, we see all the stuff behind you, Dolphin helmets, jerseys, banners. Is the Zach Thomas the prize possession? Because my prize possession, I have mine. As you see behind me as well, I have stuff up on the shelves. What's your prized Dolphin possession?
I think that's it. Because again, my favorite player, and I will tell you too something about me. I have a closet probably 3 feet long of Dolphins jerseys and shirts and everything else. And I have the jerseys are all Big E because players change so frequently within the team. I don't get a player's jersey, but I do have two Zach Thomas jerseys. One that was given to me like in the mid 90s when he was killing it. And then one that I purchased for the Hall of Fame ceremony.
And Zach Thomas gave you a video message, right? Recently.
It is still unbelievable to me when I see him out in the wild, like at a function and he comes up to me, he's like, Big E, how are you doing? I'm like, dude, you're my favorite Dolphins player ever. It's amazing.
He is the nicest, most genuine guy. It really is staggering how nice Zach Thomas is.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Channing.
Oh, no, I was going to say, it's funny you say that because the only jersey I wear, like they make me wear my own jersey at events, but the only jersey, Hulk, Son, you've seen me in it. The only jersey I wear out in public is a Zach Thomas jersey.
Yeah, we're going to get a Rondae Gadsden Chargers jerseys for OG the second.
That'll be awesome.
You're not going to wear a Chargers jersey, are you?
No, sir. Sorry. Cannot do it.
You can't be fan of the year of a team and then wear a Chargers jersey.
I was challenged by Pennsylvania, an Eagles fan. He said, listen, if I were to donate you my liver, part of my liver, you're going to have to wear an Eagles jersey. And I said, I'd wear it for maybe a day or I'd wear it for however long you need me to. But I'm going right back to my Dolphins stuff.
Wow.
That's who I love.
What a conundrum. Would you become an Eagles fan if that was the requirement?
You have to think about it, right? You'd have to think about it.
You've got a family, Big E. Exactly. Let's tell everyone the story. Ian Berger. So, like I said, his life turned on a dime. We're having fun, but he's really going through a difficult time. So tell everyone what happened, what you're suffering from, and what you need.
Yeah, no question. And thank you again for allowing me to join you guys today. Last April, just started coming out of nowhere. I was trying to lose a couple of pounds, eating less and started getting nauseous before I was eating, started belching a lot, started having some stomach issues. Had a normal doctor's annual visit in June, took blood. Everything was everything to do with my liver from the blood enzymes were way out of whack. And I, that started my journey with checking with different doctors. And I went from doctor to doctor. You know, unfortunately, sometimes it takes 2 months to see a doctor. And finally, I got down to the University of Miami, which I will continue to give them love because they do amazing work. And I found a hepatologist. I didn't even know what a hepatologist was. And the second hepatologist I found was the one who diagnosed me with the disorder that I have. It's an autoimmune disorder, and it's called primary sclerosing cholangitis. It's basically where your bile ducts that come out of your liver start closing up, and the liver basically forces the bile out of your liver instead of the normal ways that it would normally go out of the liver through these ducts. And with that, it basically got me to where I am today, which is a stage 4 liver cirrhosis. And I've had 6 hospital visits in September and 42 days basically in the hospital rooms. Again, love the doctors and nurses down there, but it's not an easy way to live for sure. And then fast forward to, you know, the time I was there in January, one of the doctors came to me and said, this is not a way to live, to keep going in and out of the hospital. He said, you're going to need a transplant. You're going to need a liver transplant. So they referred me up to University of Pennsylvania. And the reason for that is they are the best in the country from what I was told and from what I researched with giving performing live liver transplants. So I started that process in January, went up there. Then I went up again like a month and a half, 2 months later to do a follow-up. And about 2 weeks ago, they actually informed me that I was approved for the live liver donation, that it does appear that I need it and I'm healthy enough to be able to get it. So that's my piece. The second piece is now trying to find the person who will be a match for me. And one thing that's weird, and Channing, you mentioned you've got, you know, one kidney, you can live with one kidney. With liver, it's actually one of the few, I think the only human organ that regrows. So when someone gives me half of their liver, then the other half will grow back in them. And then the half that I get will grow to 100% in my body. But ultimately that's the route I want to go, because the alternative is, I can get very sick and I can end up getting a deceased donor. But the only way that you get deceased donor, or get high on that deceased donor list, is if you get so sick and you're basically on your deathbed, and then they find you someone who recently passed away. And it's not always the best fit, but it's a fit. And I'm trying to avoid getting to that point right now.
So you're, because you were explaining to me earlier, you're kind of ahead of the game. There's not a whole bunch of people who would be approved for a live liver transplant, but you are approved. And so again, the thought process is, rather than waiting until he's so sick that everything's crumbling down around him, he'll try to find a live donor. I have to imagine, though, that's very rare, right? That there aren't many live liver transplants.
It doesn't happen too often. At University of Pennsylvania, they say they do these about twice a month. So again, when you're thinking about, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of people that go through that have liver issues, it doesn't happen very frequently. And a lot of people end up having to get sick and having to go the deceased donor route.
And E, when you say a match, what does that mean? E, is it blood type? Because that's the one, like, that's the thing that kind of popped in my mind was blood type. But when you say finding that match, and then how do you go about knowing if somebody wants to help, how do they know they're a match?
Great question. So I am A positive, but there are some other blood types that actually can match with A positive. So there is really 3 steps that I'm aware of. First step is you go to this website. It's actually National Kidney Registry, NKR.org. And if you search my name, and then at the top, there's a box that says, if you'd like to try and help Ian, click on this box, have you fill out a survey. They want to make sure you're healthy enough. They want to make sure that, you know, they ask your height, your weight. They want to know your BMI, because you can't be too over the BMI in order for it to work. And then if you pass that part, then they take you to the next step, which is the blood testing. And they make sure that your blood is in all the right ranges. And then if you pass that, then you get to the third step, which is going to University of Pennsylvania for a CT scan or an ultrasound to check to make sure that the size is right. So for me, again, I'm a big guy, 6'6". I'm now 255. I do need someone who has a liver the size of 80% or greater. Now, it's interesting because some people are like, well, then you really, if you're small, then you shouldn't apply. And my doctors really asked me to be careful about that message, because they said, you may be small, but you may have a big liver. So that shouldn't, that, you know, if you feel that you're too small to apply, that definitely is not necessarily the case.
Tell everybody what happened recently, because someone had approached you about becoming the live liver donor and they didn't match with you, but tell everyone what happened.
Yeah, my wife actually, and just so you know too, anyone who applies or goes through that site, I don't know anything about them. I don't know anything about them applying. I do not put pressure. It's up to them if they want to say anything to me. So my wife went to high school with someone like 30 some odd years ago who did apply. She felt a calling to help me. And she got through the point where she got to the CT scan. They scanned and she was only about 68% the size of my liver. So it was not a good match for me. But at University of Pennsylvania, they did say that there are 200 individuals that were approved for a live living donor who have no one who has applied for them. And she said that she's going to continue in the process to help one of those individuals. So I'm just imagining, you know, what that call is going to sound like and how that person's going to feel when they haven't had anybody apply and all of a sudden they've got somebody who's a potential match and they're planning for a transplant. So I think it's huge. It's huge. I mean,
you said essentially your life now is waiting for this phone call, and obviously the 200 people on that list at the university, that's probably their life as well, waiting for that phone call.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, fortunately for me, I do have a great support system. You know, a lot of the Miami Dolphins community has helped out, and really for people who can't apply, I just ask that they share my story, because eventually it's going to come across somebody who reads it and says, I want to help another human. I want to help this person. You know, he's, I think I feel like I've done some good things in the Dolphins community. So I'm hoping that that will eventually get me that one call, that one person that I need.
And E, I know we want to talk about the team a little bit. My last one about, you know, about you is that once you found out, like, are you maximizing life? Like, do you wake up earlier to, you know, just to do more, just to enjoy, you know, what you have? Because I think a lot of people don't appreciate that side of it.
I think I'm doing as much as I can. Unfortunately, one of the pieces that happened to me was that my bilirubin number went significantly higher. You know, a lot of people hear bilirubin, they think of babies, you know, they have jaundice, they have yellow. Bilirubin number is normally 1 in adults, and I got up to 18. So I was like highlight yellow color for a little while. They tried to basically put a tube in my right side of my liver, which came out of my abdomen, and it didn't work. Actually, the number kept going up. So they had to put a second tube in the other side of the liver. And that did end up working. So they were draining some of this bile to have it flow like it naturally should. And it ended up working, and my bilirubin numbers come out, but I'm limited. Like, I played basketball 3 times a week. I can't do that anymore. Right. And you still want to go away on trips. You can't go too far from the hospital because, you know, I don't know when I'm going to get a fever again or when I'm going to get sick again. You know, and then also, you know, just like going in the pool, going in the water, can't do that right now with this situation that I'm in. But as much as I can, you know, spending time with my wife, my kids. Fortunately, I work in an amazing job that kind of gives me the flexibility to get the help that I need, but allows me to still work. So, you know, I'm doing what I can right now. I think what I'm trying to do is figure out what I'm going to do after the transplant. You know, I'm keeping my head up, staying positive, and I want to plan. I want to plan to do some cool things when I'm better. And plus, I'm going to be a huge advocate for the others, for those 200 other people that need it.
The website is nkr.org. That's where it starts. You can follow Big E on social media as well. What's your, are you, Twitter is the most active social media for you?
Yes, sir. It is E-N-I-A-N and the number 693. And actually on my Twitter page has the NKR website that takes you directly to the link on to get more information, and then also to determine if you're eligible to help.
And I know Solana and I and Crowder will retweet this video that we're doing right now with Ian and give everybody the links and all that stuff. But really, it starts at nkr.org. That would be the starting point. And, you know, you could like the story Ian shared, like it may just end up helping someone maybe that you don't even know that changes someone's life, gives them their life back. Because like he said, he's just kind of hostage to the situation right now. And so you feel healthy some days, not healthy other days. It's just kind of like a crapshoot.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was in the hospital a little more than 3 weeks ago. I had fever and it just wasn't going down. Basically, with what I've got, infections can just happen in my system. But when I left there, they gave me about a month and a half worth of antibiotics. So I'm feeling a lot better now than I did before. But once they take me off the antibiotics, I don't know if I'm going to end up going back in the hospital again. And my average stay is like 4 or 5 days. They know me by name up there. They give me high fives when they see me. They're like, we love you, but we don't want you here. So you need to get out of here as quick as possible.
And you don't want to be there. I'm sure.
We got any crowd of stuff behind you?
Any crowd or memorabilia?
It might be hidden behind some of that other stuff up there. I don't know. I'd have to check.
I was going to send you something, but I don't want to be on the third shelf. I wanted to be a little bit.
Why don't you send them some Crowder powder?
I was going to say, you got all your Crowder powder behind you. I love that, man.
That's a magic elixir, too. Isn't that a magic elixir?
Powder
on everything you cook.
Non-HMO, kosher. Hey, there's Crowder powder doing it now, E.
I'll tell you that the one thing on this wall that I'm very proud of is, I don't know if you guys can see these right here. I've been walking and promoting the Dolphins Cancer Challenge for the last 5 years. I've raised close to $90,000 because my mom had passed away due to cancer. And 2 years ago, I was asked to try and put a team together. And over the last 2 years as a team, we collectively raised $80,000 for Dolphins Cancer Challenge. So again, trying to do good things for the community as much as we can. And I'm trying to do as much as I can right now in the situation that I'm in.
Can you explain that to, you know, people who are listening? Because I got to experience it traveling with the team. I saw you at several road games. How close the Dolphins community, fan community is? Because I know you could probably make the case every organization has like a big super fan. But specifically the Dolphins, you just mentioned, you know, what you've been able to do to raise money. But I've witnessed it firsthand. Like, I'm friends with you on Facebook. How many, I would say in the hundreds, maybe thousands, have come out and tried to help you and supported you. And really, you're at the forefront, spearheading, bringing people together before any of this happened to you. I've witnessed it, like how meaningful it is.
It means a lot to me. And I think it just generated for me back when I used to go to the games and I used to just walk right into the stadium and watch a game and then leave. And then I realized that we could build a community of just people coming together. And thank you, know, and I give a lot of credit to Twitter, because Twitter has allowed me to meet Dolphins fans from all over the world. You know, like, I know we're going to be playing a game in Spain here in a couple months.
You would have gone, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I told my wife it's a bucket list. So not this time, maybe the next time we go internationally, but I met the head of the Dolphins Spain fan club. You know, I've been on his podcast a couple times. If it wasn't for social media, there's no way. But what happens is, I always share where we're staying, what row we're in for tailgating. So I said, if you're coming into a game and you want to join other Dolphins, you know, community members, some people that you may have interacted with, you've never met in person, come to this row. And now they've got a place to go, a safe place, a fun place where they can bring themselves, their families. I'll be sitting there, I'll talk to somebody from Kansas, and then all of a sudden somebody from the UK will come in and say hello, and we've been following each other for years. It really is an amazing community. But even going to the away games, like, that takes planning, that takes bringing people together. And I'd like to take credit for that, but I'm just spreading the word. That's really what I'm doing. Other people are putting the plans together, and they do a phenomenal job. Last one I went to was in LA. And I don't know if you remember, two years ago, there were more than half of that stadium in LA, the season opener, were Dolphins fans. And that was just so much fun. It was such an amazing time. And it really, if you can get a group, like, all you need is like 10 people, 10 Dolphins fans. And then you start building and saying, we're going to be here. Then you can, all the Dolphins fans are there, and you just need to spread the word.
It's an amazing story, and the end has yet to be written, and someone can help. And it starts at nkr.org. Ian is a heck of a nice guy. And community minded and a big Dolphins fan. And we can help finish the story the way that everyone would like to see it end. And it again, starts at nkr.org. Someone texted in, do you have to match blood type first? Is that one of the prerequisites, that it has to be A plus?
Not necessarily. Again, you go through the health screening questions first, because you do have to be healthy as a donor, because it is, you know, it's an invasive surgery and you're going to be out for probably 3 to 4 weeks. But also the doctors have told me that, you know, they have some methods with certain blood types that could bring it to an A positive. I'm not a science guy. I'm just going with what they're telling me. So that's why they say don't rule out anything, right? Give everybody the opportunity to apply, and then we'll see what we can do at that point. And here's the other thing too. A lot of people, you know, it is, again, you'd have to travel to Pennsylvania. That's where the surgery is going to happen. But through nkr.org, they also provide financial resources to be able to help people with traveling there and also staying there. If they are the person that's providing the donor.
Well, we've all got our fingers crossed for you, and we will continue to spread the word, and you'll continue to spread the word. And during the season, we'll have you on to actually talk Dolphins. So that we can focus in on the team.
This will be the year the Dolphins make it to the playoffs. I'm just going to let you know, because nobody's expecting it, by the way.
I'm the only one that's on that island with you, man. I think this is a heck of a good roster. I think it's a really good team.
Solana, Tua, is going to play 17 games, and he's going to look like a top 5 quarterback.
Hates Tua. Solana hates him with a passion.
He said they're going to the playoffs. Now he goes overboard. Tua's playing 17 games. They go like, come on now, E. We got to be realistic with this thing.
I'm just Mr. Optimistic. When he was healthy all 17 games, he was in the top 5-10 in the NFL. So yes, that's all I was saying.
He was talked about as an MVP. Yeah, I mean, what are we doing here? How quickly we forget, Dolphins fans. How quickly we forget. Ian Berger, Big E, and follow Big E on social media. That's a great start. What is it, Ian693? Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
Ian693 on Twitter. And again, if you want to just peruse what, you know, the possibilities are, nkr.org is the website. Big E, thank you. Good luck to you. We'll talk to you throughout the season. And again, fingers crossed.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.